John's asked me to do a reading this morning, and it's from St. Luke 8, verse 22 to 25. One day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying one to another, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?"
Let's just pray for the pastor as he comes. If you want to reach out your hand. Yeah. Father God, I just thank you for all that John has prepared, and that we just pray that you would speak through him now. Lord, may your Holy Spirit speak to each one of us. Give us, open the eyes of our hearts and our ears as well, to listen to what you're saying, but then to put it into action and to follow and to do. May we not go home today not being changed by what you have said to us. We ask it in your name. Amen.
And thank you to our youth and children's pastor. Children's and youth pastor? Something like that. Wonderful, wonderful. You know, Trish was saying earlier and just reminding us about the diversity of the church and those of all different ages. And I think we ought to thank the Lord for our eldest associate pastor, John Beyer, who had his 89th birthday on Friday, is now in his 90th year. And we do praise the Lord for sparing John and Rosemary to us for so many years, and that John has the faculties and the strength that he has. So much to give thanks to God for. We're looking again this morning back in the Gospel of Luke, and the overall title of my series is Jesus is for Everyone. And last time I spoke on the parable that we tend to call the parable of the sower, but I was pointing out that really it should be called the parable of the soils, because it's the soils that are different in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 18. And I used the title of "Do You Just Follow Jesus on Social Media?" Today we're looking at this story that Patricia just read to us beautifully of the calming of the storm, and my title is "How Do You Handle Stressful Storms in Your Life?" How do you handle stressful storms in your life? You know, we all dream of living stress-free lives. Did you realize that? We all dream of living stress-free lives. The teenager says, "When I've got through my exams, I will be free from stress." The uni student says, "When I've finished my dissertation, I will be able to relax." Workers say, "When I've got that promotion, when I've got that well-paid job, I will be free of stress and money worries." The single person says, "When I have found a partner, I will be free from stress." The married person says, "When I'm divorced, I'll be free from all the stress of being married." The young parents say, "When the children are grown up and independent, we will be able to enjoy ourselves." But folks, they still cause you stress when they're in their 20s, their 30s, their 40s, their 50s, and onwards. People in their 50s and 60s look forward to retirement Won't that be wonderful? We will be free of the stress of working and everything else. The elderly residents in care homes look forward to resting in peace. And, you know, as we get older, we begin to look forward to resting in peace. But the problem is that no one ever thinks of the stress of hell itself. You know, stress never ends. I heard the wonderful true story of a vicar in Norfolk who went to visit his eldest parishioner. She was 105 years of age. And he went to her and he said to her, "You know, how are you feeling today?" "Oh," she said, "Vicar, I can at last relax in peace. I've got my youngest son into an old people's home." Isn't that wonderful? You see, the reality is all of us will have to face stressful situations in our lives. We will all face stressful storms in life. But Jesus wants us to handle those stressful storms with faith rather than fear, with trust rather than panic, with peace rather than chaos. So what can we learn from this story of Jesus? First of all, stressful storms can come unexpectedly. It says, one day Jesus got into the boat with his disciples and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake and they were filling with water and were in danger. That day started off very ordinary, didn't it? It was just another day. It's very ordinary when you live near the Sea of Galilee to get into a boat to cross to the other side. There's nothing extraordinary about that. It's so ordinary, in fact, it's so pleasant that Jesus falls asleep. You know, it's really relaxing being on a sailing boat on a calm lake. The light wind fills the sails. The water is lapping against the boat, the side of the boat. There's no engine noise. You can only go as fast as the wind propels you. There's no rush. There's no stress. You know, there's no bustle. It's peaceful. It's idyllic. And you know, what more could the disciples have wanted for? Jesus is with them in the boat. And they are in this idyllic situation, gliding across the lake. Life couldn't get better. The only problem is it could get a lot worse. And that's the reality, isn't it, sometimes in life? You know, sometimes we feel, well, life can't get any better. But the problem is it can suddenly get a whole lot worse. And suddenly and unexpectedly, a windstorm came down upon the lake. The peace and the idyll was violently disturbed by a storm. Now, windstorms on the Sea of Galilee are not unusual, but this was an unusually bad one. So bad that experienced fishermen and sailors, because some of the disciples, remember, had spent their life on boats, sailing on and rowing on the Sea of Galilee. But this windstorm was so bad that the fishermen and the sailors were frightened. And the boat was in real danger of being swamped and them drown. Now it says that this windstorm came down. And it seems to suggest that that may have actually been an attack from above. Was this storm actually an attack from the devil, from the evil one himself against Jesus' disciples, against Jesus, the Son of God? We don't know. But suddenly and totally unexpectedly, the disciples were facing mortal danger. The boat was in danger of sinking. Their lives were in danger. And you know, it's hard to imagine, isn't it, a more stressful situation than when your life is in danger. Now, most of the things that you lie awake at night stressing about, you think, how can I go on in life? But your life is not actually in mortal danger. It's just you're not too sure what you're going to do the next day or what's going to happen if that thing, little thing goes wrong. But the disciples were facing possibly the end of their lives, their death. You know, most of us here will remember specific days and dates. Days and dates that started off very normally, but suddenly, very suddenly and unexpectedly, something happened that transformed that ordinary day into a day that you will never, ever forget. Most of us who are over 30 will remember forever the 11th of September 2001. We will remember what we were doing on a day that started perfectly ordinary, just like any other day, that later on in that day, airliners plunged into the Twin Towers of in New York, and our world history, if you like, was changed forever. It just started off as an ordinary day. It started off as an ordinary day for the people who lost their lives that day. But it changed their lives forever. Most of us will have other ordinary days that were transformed by a storm. Maybe you received a phone call on an ordinary day that a loved one had died suddenly. And that ordinary day has been transformed forever by a stressful storm of grief. It's coincidental that, in actual fact, for our family, today, October the 30th, is one of those ordinary days that will never be forgotten in our family. Because October the 30th, 2001, was when we got a phone call to say that Trisha's dad, who'd driven himself down to a Rotary Club meal, had a massive brain hemorrhage. And before Trish and her sister could get up here to Sheffield from London, he died. And so October the 30th is a day that was transformed from something ordinary into something extraordinary for us. Maybe you've had an ordinary day when you had a hospital appointment and your ordinary day was transformed by a diagnosis or an illness. Maybe it was an ordinary day at work until you were made redundant and shown the door of the building and had to leave. Maybe it was an ordinary day when you discovered your partner was having an affair. And so the list could go on and on. And you know, for most people, it will be just another ordinary day when you or I die. But for our family and our friends, it will be a day and a date always associated with loss and grief. So how do you and I handle the stressful storms that come into our lives? How does Jesus want us to handle them? Well, the second point I want to say is stressful storms can cause us to panic and forget. Jesus was in the boat with the disciples, but in the face of this stressful storm, they panicked. They forgot everything that Jesus had taught them. It happens, doesn't it? When storms come, we suddenly forget things. Jesus certainly wasn't panicked or distressed, was he? He stayed asleep. He wasn't bothered at all about this stressful storm. But the disciples panicked and they took matters into their own hands. They woke Jesus. And the funny thing is, you know, that they end up more afraid of Jesus than the storm that caused them to panic in the first place. Do you get that in the story? They're scared stiff of the storm. And then when Jesus calms the storm, they're scared stiff of Jesus. And goodness, you know, we've got God in the boat with us now. You know, surely we're going to die because we're in the presence of Almighty God. So it doesn't do very good for their stress levels anyway, even when he did calm the storm, because they now become afraid of him instead. But what did the disciples do? First of all, they forgot the promise of Jesus. I love what Jesus said in verse 22. Jesus said to his disciples at the beginning of this story, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." The whole trip, the whole ride was Jesus' idea. It was planned by Jesus. And let me ask you a question. Was there any chance they wouldn't make it over to the other side of the lake? Absolutely no chance at all. Because Jesus said, let us go across to the other side. If Jesus has said, let's go across the other side, and he said, you know, he's promised that we're going to go to the other side, they didn't have worried him no matter what happened. Because what Jesus says and what he promises come true. Amen. So it was guaranteed they were going to get to the other side. There's no possibility that the storm would overwhelm them. There was not the remotest possibility that they would drown. Jesus, the Son of God, had decreed that they would go over to the other side of the lake. And nothing, absolutely nothing, would prevent them from reaching the other side. And you know, if you today are a true disciple of Jesus, whether you're watching online or whether you're here at Spittle Hill, Jesus has decreed, if you are a true Christian, Jesus has decreed that you are on your way to the other side. And nothing, absolutely nothing, will prevent you from reaching the other side. No amount of storms, no amount of pressure, no amount of deadlines, no amount of disasters will stop you reaching the other side. Amen? Because it's the promise of Jesus. Are you facing a storm right now? Jesus wants to remind you of his promises to you. Promises he has made to you in the past. Promises he has made to you in the present. Your life is in God's hands. It's not in the hands of the storm. Amen? Amen? Amen. Put your faith and your trust in him. You can trust Jesus, praise God. The situation you are stressing about that may have stopped you sleeping last night is tiny compared to the awesomeness of our God, praise God. That situation, that circumstance will not destroy you. It is not the end of the world, folks, because Jesus will bring you to the other side. What does Paul say in Romans 8, 28 and 31 and 35 to 39? And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and those who have been called according to his purpose. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? You know, the stressful storm that you and I may be facing at this present time might stop us sleeping tonight. But it's unlikely to be as bad as the trouble, the hardship, the persecution, the famine, the nakedness, the danger and the sword that Paul is speaking about. Yet Paul says nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, if you're a true believer, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Hold on to that. Hold on to that. Don't forget the promises of God. The second thing the disciples forgot was the presence of Jesus. Amen. They forgot that Jesus was with them there in the storm. He never left them for one moment. You know, he didn't see the boat getting into trouble and think, I'm out of here. No, he could have done, couldn't he? He walked on water later on. No, he could have thought, well, I'm getting out of here. This is too risky. He stayed asleep. He never left them for one moment. And if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, Jesus wants to remind you today that he is present with you. He is present with you in the storm. He'll be present with you through the storm, and he'll be present with you when you reach the other side. He will never leave you or forsake you. However bad the storm might be, Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. Isn't that beautiful? Hold on to that. It may sometimes seem that he's asleep. I bet the disciples were frustrated, weren't they? How can he sleep through this? No, this is ridiculous. The wind's probably ripped the sails off the boat. There's water lapping around. He's probably lying in water. And he's still asleep. And, you know, sometimes we can feel like that, can't we? You think, Lord, can't you see what a mess I'm in? You know, can't you see the stress I'm in? And you don't seem to be doing anything. And, you know, I'm up to my neck in it here. But he will never leave you, nor forsake you. He may seem as though he's asleep, but he's still present with you. Turn your eyes away from the storm that is raging and fix your eyes on Jesus, because he's right there with you in the midst of the storm. And then thirdly, the disciples forgot the power of God, didn't they? They could only see the storm and they were afraid. They forgot all the miracles they'd seen Jesus do. It's amazing how easily we forget. You know, we sort of worry about getting dementia as we get older. No, I think we need to be worried about the dementia we suffer when we're younger. No, because it's amazing. God can do amazing things in our lives, and as soon as we hit trouble, we've forgotten all about them. Oh, so we've never encountered Jesus, as though God has never done anything for us. God's never answered any of our prayers because, oh, I'm facing this terrible problem now. I don't know what to do. And God doesn't seem to be there. And, you know, we panic and we stress about those sorts of things. These disciples, these ones in the boat with Jesus, had seen Jesus do incredible miracles. Incredible miracles. They'd seen it firsthand. You know, we would love to have been one of those disciples, wouldn't we? And we think, don't we, naively, that if we'd seen Jesus turning water into wine, if we'd seen Jesus healing the blind person, we would never doubt God again. You know, we would never have a doubt. No, we would follow Jesus with everything. We would not worry what anything came against us. We would follow Jesus. That's rubbish, isn't it? Because we forget. We panic. Don't panic, Mr. Mannering. Don't panic. Don't panic, Mr. Mannering. You know, and so often we're like that as Christians. For those of you not aware, that's Dad's army. When the storm hit them, the disciples forgot the power of God. When the storm hits your life, what do you do? Do you panic? Do you try and sort it out in your own strength? Do you blame God for the storm? That's another good one that we're good at, aren't we? No, how can I believe in God when he's allowed this to happen to me? Do you turn away from God? Do you forget God's power? You see, the disciples have forgotten that no storm is greater than Jesus. Because Jesus has authority over creation. Jesus has authority over nature. We've got it here. When we're overwhelmed by the pressures and the circumstances around us, we have forgotten the power of God. So Jesus says to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And if Jesus had to say that to the 12 apostles, don't be surprised if he has to say the same to you and me. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Where is your faith? And Jesus wants to remind me, remind each one of us, that he is more powerful than every circumstance. He's more powerful than every storm. And then fourthly, they forgot that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. They forgot that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. They had lost their peace, hadn't they? They lost their peace big time. Do you lose your peace big time? They were anxious. They were worried. They were fearful. They were overwhelmed. Instead of trusting in Jesus, instead of putting their faith in him, they could only see the storm and their impending doom. Another Dad's army, isn't it? Doomed. We're doomed. We're doomed. It's amazing, isn't it, how we respond? Because we're humans, we're sinful, we're weak. And God knows what we're like. And he's merciful towards us, which is amazing, isn't it? But even with all our doubts and fears, he still loves us. He still reaches out to us in his mercy and grace. How many times do you lose your peace in a day? Or in a week? Or in a year, say, I don't really ever lose my peace, brother. I'm strong in the Lord. might have a bit of a problem with lying there. The reality is we struggle, don't we? We lose our peace because of the things that come against us, because the reality is we're going to face things coming against us in life. And sometimes they will seem overwhelming. But Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the one who said, "My peace I give unto you." My peace. You can know my peace. You can know my peace. Not just when there's no storm around. You can know my peace in the midst of the storm, in the eye of the storm, when the storm is raging all about you. Even when you're facing the storm of death itself, you can know God's peace with you. Peace in every situation. Peace in every circumstances. So as we face the stressful storms in our life, Jesus wants to remind us of his promises, his presence with us, his power available to us, and his peace to go with us through life. And then finally, stressful storms. Jesus has the power to still the storm. You know, when the disciples got into the boat that day, they thought that Jesus was just a special man. They thought that he was the Messiah. But the expectations of the Messiah was not that he was going to be necessarily the Son of God. The expectations of the Messiah was that he would be a great human being who redeemed Israel and conquered the enemies of Israel and restored the kingdom of Israel. A great leader, a second David. You know, the son of David was going to come and restore Israel politically and economically and spiritually as well. But so that's what they thought Jesus was. They didn't fully realize who Jesus was. They had no real idea that they were in the presence of the Almighty Son of God, who had power over all creation. And you know, when you are in a stressful storm, it matters who you have with you. Did you know that? You know, it's very interesting, but most young children, certainly in the West, don't experience high levels of stress as long as they have a parent or a responsible adult with them. Now, that's why we look back to childhood, isn't it? We think, oh, wasn't it lovely when we were small children? We didn't experience any stress. We didn't experience anxiety. We were under the illusion that our mums and dads actually knew what they were doing. We were under the illusion that they would protect us and that they would always be there for us. And therefore, we were happy just to get along and play and live carefree lives. You know, it's wonderful if you've had that sort of environment. Sadly, so many children don't have that environment now. And we have all the mental health problems that result as a result of that with young children. Small children trust their parents will protect them. They have faith in adults. And therefore, they do not experience stress in most situations. You know, it's a proven fact that the stress level of adults is reduced when they have someone with them. Stress levels greatly increase when you are facing a storm on your own. That is the toughest. When you are on your own, and so many of these rescue stories and things like that you see on television programs, when you're on your own, that's the power of solitary confinement, by the way. When you're on your own, you have no one else with you. And the stress levels increase. The disciples had Jesus, the sovereign Son of God, with them in the storm. When he spoke, the stressful storm was instantly calmed and peace was restored. You know, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, Jesus has promised that he will never leave you or forsake you. That is amazing. Even if you are physically alone, even if you are living alone, even if you are in a situation, a stressful situation, and you are on your own, Jesus says you're not on your own. Because Jesus came to be Emmanuel, God with us. And he's with you. And what better than to have Jesus with you in the storm? You have the sovereign Son of God with you in every storm that you will face. And he is the only one who can still the storm and restore peace to your life. You know, having faith in the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ, knowing his presence with you, will totally transform your life. Amen. If you really understand who Jesus is, if you really understand that God is sovereign, that he is the Almighty God, and that he will never leave you and never forsake you, it will transform your whole life. You see, his presence in your life will transform your worries. It'll transform your faith, your faith and your fears. It'll transform your insecurities. It'll transform your stress levels. Do you know it's actually, again, a proven fact that Bible-believing Christians tend to live longer than normal people. Normal people. It's a bit worrying, isn't it? Other people. Because if you are truly trusting in the sovereign, almighty Son of God, you will not experience the same stress levels as those who do not know that God is with them in the storm. You will be able to enjoy life a whole lot more because you know you have the security of God with you in every situation, in every circumstances. You know, many people's lives are dominated and paralyzed by fears, by anxiety, and by stress. Do you realize that? That anxiety, fear, and stress not only dominates your life, so you can think of nothing else, but it paralyzes you because you're unable to do anything about it. You're like an animal sometimes, animal when it's hunted sometimes will be paralyzed by fear and unable to move. And so it's very easy for them to be destroyed and eaten. Fear, anxiety and stress paralyzes us. You know, there's some people, I'm not criticizing at all, but some people are watching the live stream today because they are fearful and worried about being in a crowd with the risk of infection. Many today, increasing number of people, are fearful of the cost of living crisis. How are we going to pay our bills? Many people are fearful of their health, scared of dying. Fear dominates people's lives. It paralyzes people's lives. In Luke 8, it's not just the wind and waves that Jesus rebukes. He also rebukes the disciples for their lack of faith. Where is your faith? As I said earlier, it's quite funny really because the disciples swapped their fear of the storm for fear of Jesus. It says they were afraid and they marveled, saying to one another, they were afraid and they marveled, saying to one another, who then is this that he commands even the wind and winds and water and they obey him? They thought he was just a human. They thought he was a wonderful human. They did not realize he was God himself. Who then is this? If you are a disciple of Jesus today, Jesus calls you to have faith instead of fear and stress. And that's important for me. And for you. If you're a disciple of Jesus today, let me repeat it. Jesus calls you to have faith instead of fear and stress. Not blind faith, but faith in a sovereign, almighty Lord Jesus Christ who has promised that he will never leave you or forsake you, even in the most stressful storms of life. You can know and experience Jesus with you in the storms of life. Put your faith and trust in the sovereign, almighty Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Just going to, well, let's just stay seated for a moment, but let's just close our eyes. I just want to invite people who are facing storms in your life at this very present time. Just have the courage just to stand. We all face storms. But if you're facing a storm in your life at this present time, just encourage you to stand, and it would be good just to pray with you. So just feel free just to stand where you are. If you're facing a particular storm at this present time, doesn't matter what it is, we're not going to ask what it is unless you want to share it. But you're just facing a storm. It would be good just to pray. Father God, Lord, I thank you for those who are standing today. And Lord, I pray that in the storms that you are facing right now, you will have faith in Jesus. That you will put your trust in the promises of the sovereign Lord Jesus Christ. That you will experience his presence in your life. That you will experience his power in your life. That you will experience his peace. Lord, his peace, even in the midst of the storm. Lord, I just lift before you these dear people who are standing in your presence today. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you have promised that you will never leave them, that you will never forsake them. Lord, give them faith. Give them courage as they face those storms. Give them faith, give them courage to know that the sovereign Lord God Almighty knows everything about the storm. And he is the one who has the power to say, be still. Be still, and to bring his peace. Lord, move amongst us. Lord, each one of us, just encourage us all to stand with those who are standing. Let's stand together. I'm going to invite Chyla and the worship team to come forward. Lord Jesus, Lord, as we just stand all together in your presence, Lord, I pray, Lord, none of us knows whether we might face an unexpected storm, even in this coming week. Even before the end of today, Lord. But Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you have promised that you will never leave us or forsake us. Lord, help us not to panic in the storm, but to put our faith and our trust in the sovereign Lord God Almighty, the sovereign Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, put our trust in the presence and the power of Jesus ministered to us by his Holy Spirit, that, Lord, we would know your peace and your calm. Lord, whatever we may face, Lord, we pray. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.